Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, May 25th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard no more of Fred for a while through one paragraph ending, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Nancy C., 12 Traditions, Susan G. Readers of the text, Eileen M., Penny L. C., and Felicia S. The reference number for Sunday, May 24th, is 23,485. That's 23485. And for this morning, Monday, May 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,486. That's 23486. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann SCH, and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Nancy C. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable, over food, sorry. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
D. And I'll now ask Susan G. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. It's Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 Traditions of OA are, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the... We heard no more of Fred for a while, through one paragraph ending, yet was flat on his back, nevertheless. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Eileen M. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Eileen M. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. We heard no more of Fred for a while. One day we were told that he was back in the hospital. This time he was quite shaky. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. The story he told is most instructive. For here was a chap, absolutely convinced he had to stop drinking, who had no excuse for drinking, who exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all of his other concerns, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. Wow, what a great paragraph today. I just think it's such a great sign that he was, you know, he's in the hospital and he really wants to see them again, you know, because previously he had pretty much more or less rejected their help. You know, he was in complete denial of how severe his disease was. And, you know, I was just thinking that the line that really jumps out at me today is this time he was quite shaky. Now, that statement is very telling, you know, because... Yeah, as I was saying on the previous page, we're told that he had made up his own mind to quit drinking, but, you know, he was positive he could handle it himself, you know, even though they explained to him the exact nature of the problem before he went on his trip to Washington. You know, they told him, hey, you know, you have an alcoholic mind, you will drink again, and there's no defense against it. And, you know, he kind of was in this denial place, like, oh, yeah, okay, self-knowledge is going to fix me. I'll just rely on that, right? So, you know, I think it's really interesting how they tell him what they know about the disease, and then they just let him go, you know, so he could find out for himself how bad he really was, you know, and that's really, that was really striking to me. You know, they've let him find out for himself. And so now he's back in the hospital, right? So he, you know, I think he's at the point where, yeah, I've been beaten into a state of reasonableness and I need help. So basically, you know, it's saying before he couldn't even make the admission of powerlessness. So he couldn't even get to step one. It just kind of reminds me of like my own experience. You know, I can relate to this. I first got into OA, you know, the first several years I was in the program. I remember very clearly, like it was yesterday, you know, looking around the room and comparing my size to other people. And I'd be thinking, oh yeah, you know, I'm not as bad as those other people. So I've got this, right? I can manage this on my own, you know, and as we know, you know, the disease is not about how much you weigh. It's about whether or not your behavior around food is compulsive, you know. And I had this little smug, self-righteous attitude of, oh, you know what, I can do this. And I remember having periods of abstinence. And I would think that I had gotten it. And, you know, somebody in my life would show up with some alcoholic food and that I had, you know, I had these very specific alcoholic foods. They'd show up with one of those foods and ruin everything. And then I would blame them for, I blame the other person for breaking my abstinence, right? It was their fault. And, you know, it just became so clear over the years that I couldn't do this safely. I couldn't handle food safely, you know, and I really needed this. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the vision meeting, because the vision meeting specifically showed me what the problem was. I really didn't understand it all those years. And, you know, all of you showed me that, hey, there's a way out. You know, there is a way out, and this meeting has a solution. So if you're, you know, if you're on the line and you're struggling, just keep coming back to this meeting. So anyways, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen M. A fantastic way of getting us started. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Maria C.
Maria C.
Betsy H.
Betsy H.
Felicia S. from New Jersey.
Marcel F.
Felicia Marcel. S. from New Jersey. And who's that other
F.
name? Marcel F.
F.
Okay. Anyone else? I have Maria C., Betsy H., Felicia S., and Marcel S. Anyone else?
Deborah G.
Chanel
Arizona.
T.
Deborah
Excuse
G.
me, what page are we on?
Chanel T, I will tell you. Let's see here. Chanel T. Okay, we are on page 40, that first paragraph. We heard no more from Fred for a while, through one paragraph ending, yet was flat on his back, nevertheless. So this is a beautiful lineup. Let's go ahead with Maria C, followed by Betsy H. And Maria, we look forward to your share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, everybody. Hi, my name is Maria C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict, 100-pounder in Los Angeles, California. I love this. I love this paragraph. Happy Memorial Day. I'm so happy to be here live. You know, this time he was quite shaky. That really got me too, you know, as I think about all the different times where I thought I was done, because I'd been in OA for over 5 years before I finally got entirely abstinent, finally started working the steps, was finally desperate enough to actually do what all the recovered people around me were doing. And, you know, I don't quite know why that time it really got shaky, why, you know, when everything all at once just got so bad. But I'm so glad it did, you know. Here's a chap absolutely convinced he had to stop with no excuse, who exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all of his concerns. And, you know, a lot of times when I share my story, I talk about the very worst, at very worst when I was absolutely down in the dumps, because that was what got me there. But if you looked at my life, you know, my adult years before I finally got sober at age, you know, 29, 30 with all of you here on the line, you know, I had periods of great success. You know, I had a scholarship that got me through college without any debt, that gave me travel abroad opportunities, internship opportunities. I could seem quite impressive I went to a very fancy boarding school for high school on scholarship as well. In so many ways, I seemed like I could be such a success. But then all of a sudden, I was eating in my bed again and had the credit card debt and had the bad skin and had the sports injuries from just existing and the stomach issues and the inability to move, the inability to find clothes that fit. I couldn't go to an interview and really keep up the charade that matched my resume, because people could just see I wasn't well, you know, regardless of what sort of fat prejudice people had. I also just wasn't well, you know, and I wasn't confident, and I was feeling just, you know, my spiritual sickness was showing through. And I'm really grateful to be here with you guys today. I feel like I'm rambling, so I'm going to say goodbye at this point, but I love you all so much. Happy holiday.
Thank you so much, Maria C. from California. Betsy H., it's your turn, followed by Felicia S.
Hi, this is Betsy H., a recovered compulsive reader in California. And reading this paragraph, I'm just thinking about my overeating career. And it was so clear in my brain that I had to stop binging on junk food. It wasn't good for my health. It was causing me to be overweight. I was and binging and hiding my eating from people, and I just felt so ashamed. And it was very clear in my brain, especially right after the binge, I'd be very clear, like, wow, I feel awful. I will never do this again. And then definitely by maybe a few hours later, I would start eating again. Or maybe it wouldn't be till the next day. Maybe I would go do some strenuous exercise to try to burn it off. But then I would just reach for that food again and again. And it wasn't logical. It made me crazy. It's like, and then I would feel so bad afterwards and say, I will never do this again. The cycle of addiction. And I guess sometimes I have to just really feel the consequences and feel like how bad it feels to be in active food addiction and feel that hopelessness before I'm ready to admit, like, okay, I really am powerless over food. And if I want to recover, the other things I've tried haven't worked. So let me try the 12 steps. It's a proven methodology for recovery. And so I'm grateful to be here today, abstinent and in recovery today. And I'm just going to keep coming back and keep taking some action for recovery. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Betsy H. from California. Felicia S., it's your turn, followed by Marcel S. from Canada.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service, as well as all of Team Monday. I'm Felicia S. from New Jersey, recovering compulsive overeater. God, I love this paragraph. I'm coming up on a year of abstinence at the end of this week. And so much about this paragraph is, here was a chap absolutely convinced. So he knew he needed to stop drinking. I knew I needed to compulsively stop eating and doing the harm I was doing to my body. You know, the first heart attack, the second heart attack, the third, like, there was no question. He had no excuse to drink. I had no excuse to eat any different than I had on any other day. And my judgment was great, you know, except when it came to food. And no matter how much determination I had, I was back in the food. He was flat on his back. No matter how pure his intentions, no matter what he wanted, he couldn't do it. And when they talk about in another part of this book that alcohol beat them into a state of reasonableness, That's that excitement of, I'm anxious to see them because food beat me into a state of reasonableness and I was desperate and anxious to reconnect with all of you, to find a sponsor, to get service, to do the things, and to hear your hope because I didn't have any. And he's excited because you guys offered him a solution. Here was a solution, and he knew who to go to, and he was ready. He had the gift of desperation. And for me, the gift of desperation was that jumping off point that meant whatever my sponsor asked me to do, I was going to do it, whether I liked it or not, because I now knew it was life and death. And so although I most relate to the jaywalker, I get this. You know, I get Fred. I love that this book gives us all the gradients on the scale, right? There's Jim who's drinking over resentments. There's Fred who's drinking regardless, and he has everything in the world, and it just doesn't matter. He can't stop. And then the jaywalker is just me killing himself in oblivion, no matter what, and everybody sitting on the sidelines going, oh my God, we're going to bury her.
Time.
And thanks to all of you, I didn't need to be buried. And I'm so incredibly grateful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Felicia S. from New Jersey. Marcel S., it's your turn, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dawn, and all the people that make this vision meeting possible. And happy Memorial Day to all my American friends. I am Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada. I'm recovered today by God's grace, love, and mercy, and I am a compulsive overeater. I so relate to Fred. You know, it says we heard no more of Fred for a while, and that was me. I had a little disappearing act. You know, once I lost the weight, I don't have to show up and do the things that this particular diet asked me to do. And oh boy, we all know how that ended. And just like Fred, I would prefer, you know, to struggle on my own in a million different ways rather than rely on my higher power. I spent a lot of time in shame too. I imagine Fred is feeling pretty pummeled at this point. And the other day I heard somebody share that it didn't matter what it was, that she, when she was a child, she ingested baby aspirin. And I thought, I had forgotten that. And I thought I was the only person in the world that did this. Oh my goodness. And, you know, when I was in my late 30s, I was out of ideas and I was out of hope, just like Fred, and finding myself back in the pits of despair. I still just wanted to lose weight, and I continued to do that. And I was, you know, vaguely aware that there was something more and that that I needed to admit that I could not do this on my own. So just like Fred, he's now willing to listen to these people. And, you know, so for more than a few decades, it was still about the weight and the food obsession. But today I realized that God brought me to OA and OA brought me to God. Thank you for this beautiful meeting. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, God. And I'll pass.
Thank you. Marcel F. from Canada. And a quick reminder, we're talking about page 40 today, that first paragraph. We heard no more of Fred for a while through one paragraph ending, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. And so now we're going to hear Deborah G. share, followed by Chanel T., and then I'll be taking a list of more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. So Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service today and all that you do with this meeting. I'm so grateful for you and for everyone making this meeting possible. And thank you all for 12-stepping me today and reminding me of the truth. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line with us today. you never have to live like you've been living. And I can remember the suffering, you know, the suffering that I felt, because I would continue to see, geez, I've, you know, got a problem here with sugar, and go to meetings. And I even went through the steps, maybe a workshop I did, and maybe a couple times, and I still wasn't like surrendering, willing, honest, open-minded. I was just going through the motions. I was going through the motions and still not getting that transformation for years and years and years. And I talked with other people about it. And, you know, it wasn't until I came to Visions. I was so out of what to do, came to Visions. And I learned, because I always focused on these certain alcoholic foods, I learned another alcoholic food, which is the biggest one that I have, and I was still ingesting it. So, yeah, I wasn't getting the effects of the steps. I wasn't getting the effects of the meetings. I wasn't getting the effects because I was still ingesting an alcoholic food. I was getting the effects of the food. And when I finally surrendered, because I saw, finally, woke up from unconsciousness, from that delusion, denial, got honest with myself, fork in one hand, salt shaker in the other, every single bite of food, insanity. I saw the insanity with it. And I surrendered. And I called someone that I really admired with their special edition and wanted what they had. And she took me through the steps quickly. I put that food down and it got that transformation and connectedness with that power, because I have no power with my alcoholic foods. And as long as I keep ingesting it, I'm not going to have the experience, even today, that I have growing in this program. I'm so grateful to be here, and all of you. Have a beautiful, blessed holiday day.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Chanel T., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your... Hi. Can you hear me okay? Hello. Hi, I'm Chanel T., grateful and recovered compulsive eater here in Washington State, all by the grace of God today. We heard no more of Fred for a while. Feels like love. The most loving thing they could do was let him do what he was going to do. Boy, is that a hard message for me sometimes. Let others voluntarily evolve, which fellows have sent to me as a reminder. When I'm sponsoring, when I'm parenting a 19-year-old just in life, and it's what had to happen for me. I had to be flat on my back. I had to have no excuse for eating and realize that it wasn't just that I was an emotional eater. Lots of people are emotional eaters. Probably everybody's an emotional eater. Just, I don't know, but, you know, to some degree. An alcoholic with certain foods and ingredients and behaviors. That's me. That's me doing crazy, crazy things. It's one thing to count calories. It's another thing to make your life about it. Yeah, that was me. It's one thing to weigh yourself. It's another thing to be obsessed with that weight or completely avoiding it, depending on where I was on the scale. And no excuse for eating. Yeah, it didn't matter. I was going to have those things. I didn't see that I was in bondage. For a long time, I wasn't willing to see it, like Fred wasn't willing to see it. I have an alcoholic mind when it comes to certain foods, ingredients, and behaviors. How many people are going to, you know, a normal eater, a heavy eater even maybe, but definitely a normal eater, is it going to hurt herself, himself, themselves with food intentionally on a regular basis? And think that's normal. Eating too little, eating too much, trying to cure the problem of how I feel from under or overeating with food, with crazy amounts of exercise that injure me eventually. I still pay for the price from this disease in my body's health in some ways. And yet, because I finally was laid flat on my back enough times, and it did take one once for me, I finally just gave up and said, God, I don't know what I need to do here. I'm really out of ideas at this point. Go back to OA. Well, that doesn't even work. I've been there before. It doesn't work for me. Go back to OA. And I did. Finally able to put all the foods and behaviors down January 18th, 2023. That's purely by the grace of my higher power I choose to call God. I can't do that by myself. But letting others voluntarily evolve is what brought me here. Others allowed me to let pain, another fellow said to me recently, pain is the greatest teacher. Let pain teach me. And I finally had to surrender. I can't do it on my own. And guess what? By doing it the way it's prescribed here, which is, thank you, in this book, and we talk about it on this meeting, I have freedom today. I have a daily reprieve today. I'm so grateful. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Chanel T. from Washington. And I'm now going to take a list of the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Kristen Y.
Kristen
California.
Y. California. Very good. Who else would like to share? Press star 1 if you'd like.
Pat R. from Alabama.
Doreen N.
Pat R., Alabama, and Doreen N.
Lisa N. in Georgia.
Lisa N. in Georgia. Anyone else? All right, let's go with that lineup. I have Kristen Y., Pat R., Doreen M., and Lisa N. Kristen Y., please get us started. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Hi, good morning. I'm Kristen. I'm a compulsive overeater. In recovery, which is what I need, I relate so much to that reading and to Fred. I remember... my biggest, like, this alcoholic thing, like my alcoholic mind is really insane. I was at my sister's. I wanted it so bad. I wanted to lose weight so bad. And I got on her scale and it said I had lost weight. And I was so happy. I cried. The scale was wrong. I hadn't lost any weight. And just me thinking that I was going to be struck thin, the insanity of that is so fascinating to me. And now coming in here, I know that I can't do it all. I'm Fred. I have to have a program. I'm willing now. I'm willing. And that's what it's taking. And I'm really amazed. It's so incredible to me that my thinking around food is changing. And it's only because of a higher power, an incredibly patient and kind, I really needed kind sponsor, who I appreciate so much. And just to see the change and the differences has just... oh, it's been the most amazing thing ever, and I couldn't do it before. So thank you all, and I love this meeting, just listening and relating to so much. So thank you.
Thank you, Kristen Y. from California. Pat R. from Alabama, it's your turn to share, followed by Doreen N.
Thank you. This is Pat R., a very grateful recovering overeater. When I was reading this, and I've gone back and read it on my own as well, where he says right here, this time he was quite shaky. I was thinking about the holiday. And, you know, everybody, the families and everything, they get together, they have the big cookouts, they do all of this. And I remembered what it was like when I would go, because I still do it, but I felt shaky this year. I don't know why. I don't know what it was. I think because maybe a little bit, you know, there were things at Thanksgiving maybe, even though I didn't give in to them, that shakiness was still there. And so this year I'm choosing to listen to this, the shakiness inside. And I'm choosing not to go to be a part of the festivities, as you know, because they're going to have a great time, but they're going to have so many things there that are not in my world, that I don't need in my world. And I just don't want to surround myself with it today. And so I am choosing to not, you know, participate in that. And it's kind of funny because a lot of my neighbors around here, their families are already coming in, and you know, they're laughing and everything is already starting. But you know, for me, I don't have to be a part of that to enjoy it. Because seriously, when I'm outside and I can hear the laughing and stuff going on, I can laugh too, because I can say, wow, they're having such a great time. And I can be very grateful for them having their great time. But for this year, I choose to take care of me, you know, not in the hospital, which is I'm very grateful for, and it is of choosing. So, you know, I'm so grateful that we have that choice. And that when we do have that little bit of shakiness, we can choose to take care of ourselves and not participate. So this is Pat R. from Alabama. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pat R. from Alabama. Doreen N., it's your turn, followed by Lisa N.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to all the newcomers. You know what? It has taken me 31 years. I've been around for 31 freaking years. And it took immersing myself like in another language, like people go to another country and they have to learn the language. Well, I had to learn the language of the big book. And I immersed myself in every possible way. This meeting and meetings on the weekends that are big book related. I am prone to falls. I am prone physically to falls. Well, I correlate falling to this disease. It has taken my spirit. It has annihilated me. When I've fallen, I fall on cement, and I could bash my head open, and I could relate to it as with food. I can totally be taken over by the food, the beast, the monster that it is, that it makes me eat like the Cookie Monster. I eat fast still, which is something that I'm working on. But the bottom line is this meeting and other big book meetings have helped me get recovered. And the appreciation and the gratitude that I have for everyone on the line and everyone in those meetings, and having a sponsor. And now I have a sponsee. She's from the UK. It's 6 hours ahead. I'm in the middle of work. I take my lunch early. I go in my car, and I do the work with her. That is how desperate I am for a sponsee. It's a buyer's market. There are more sponsors than there are sponsees. But she does exactly to the T the same things I do with food. I'm like, what kind of match is that all the way in UK? And she's an atheist. Nature's going to be her higher power. And I'm like, hey, man, like, I open working with atheists or agnostics because they're very spiritual people as well. And I heard this one speaker on vision. I was like, special edition. I was like, oh, my God, that sounds cruel, but it's true. This speaker says, instead of abstinence, she says, this particular day is the day I stopped harming myself with food. And I'm like, oh, my God, what a revelation. What a way to look at it. And so, you know, she says, responsees, it sounds mean, but it's the truth, honest and blunt. She said, you know what? She says, oh, When a sponsee says they're binging again, she says, I don't care whether or not you eat, and I'm going to wrap it up. I don't care whether or not you eat. You're the one harming yourself with food. I'm no longer harming myself with food. Grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Higher Power. And thank you to Vision and all the meetings past.
Thank you, Doreen N. Lisa N., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take a name or two after that.
Hey, good morning, Don B. This is Lisa N., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Oh, so happy to be live with you guys. I'm on my summer break, and just really excited to be live throughout the coming months. Anyway, so, oh yeah, good old Fred. You know, the first thought that came to my mind with this paragraph is thank you to the people who welcomed me back every single time. You know, I can remember the shame that I would feel with, you know, my tail between my legs kind of thing, coming back, asking for help. You know, the previous paragraph, he thought self-knowledge would fix him. I thought, you know, X, Y, and Z was going to fix me. And then here she comes again. Oh, Lord. You know, so I was so grateful when people, you know, they held their arms open again, you know. And what it tells me is there's so many of us. I mean, I'm talking 25 years, right? And I pray to God it doesn't take somebody that long to really surrender, but it did for me. I remember my mom telling me back when I was a teenager, getting in trouble, having to go with her and my stepdad to AA meetings so they could watch me. You know, she'd say, Lisa, it takes what it takes. And it does. It takes what it takes. So, but, you know, I mean, Fred, you know, he's getting to the bottom of his problem. You know, self-knowledge didn't work. Oh, darn. Okay, what else am I going to do? And it sounds like, you know, I mean, obviously we'll learn more in the coming days. But, he thought it was self-knowledge. He had no excuse for drinking. You know what it sounds like to me? He was completely bewildered. What in the heck is wrong with me kind of thing? And that's how I was too. I was like, oh my God, I thought I had it made. I can't tell you it made, you know, and then knock, knock, disease knocking at the door. Here it comes. And I was controlled and I was off to the races again. The only thing that worked for me, I'm coming up on a year of entire abstinence, you guys, which is blowing my mind. The only thing that worked for me was entire abstinence from the very beginning. And that was the ticket in the door. So y'all, whoever is struggling on the line, just keep coming back. Your miracle is there, and it takes what it takes. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa N. from Georgia. And we value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share. So if you haven't shared in the last couple days, please give me your name and initial if you'd like to share. And where you're calling from.
Kate F.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Kate F. from Washington.
Kate F. Washington, perfect. And someone else?
Audrey K. California.
Okay, Audrey K. California. Okay, Kate F., please share with us, followed by Audrey K.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Kate F., recovering compulsive overeater from Washington State. I just love when we do these readings, there's always one or two sentences that have direction for me. And today's was, he soon indicated he was anxious to see us. This morning, talking with a fellow, I realized I was anxious, and sometimes anxious can come up two ways. He, you know, Fred had already talked with these, what I like to call the stewards of this program, the stewards of this message. he had already talked to them, so he knew what they were about. So here they are again. So he does want to talk to them, and he doesn't want to talk to them. And that's kind of what I'm going through in my own program now. I so crave kind of a restoration of my recovery, and yet I'm, you know, holding it at arm's length at the same time, this push and pull. So I'm anxious in a way that's fear-based, and I'm anxious in a way that's God-graced in pulling me towards the light. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kate F. from Washington. Audrey K., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Audrey. I'm living in California, and I am totally new to this, so bear with me because I'm really nervous. But so reading that, so I've suffered for 20 years, and reading that, it's just like, I'm really learning through all of this that, you know, intentions can't cause me to change, that, you know, because as my circumstances change, my emotions change, and then all my intentions just kind of fall away because this new emotion sets in and just becomes so much that I turn to the same things over and over and over again for 20 years. And I have a daughter, she's 9 months old, and I did a home birth, and the whole theme of the home birth with the midwife was, you know, surrendering, deep breathing, and just kind of leaning in and letting go. And I really feel like that's the theme of all of this, and giving that to God. And I'm so thankful for everyone and their shares and stuff, because it's been the only thing that seems to have given me any relief in 20 years. And I'm going to stop because I'm like shaking, but thank you. I'm going to pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Audrey K. from California. It was a beautiful share. Would anyone else like to share? We have about a minute left if there's someone that would like to share. All right.
Virginia J.
Virginia J., you have about a minute share.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to share. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic, and I feel like Fred today, bewildered. I had 30 days of abstinence, and I lost my abstinence over the weekend. And yes, so I just wanted to claim my seat and say that I'm not going to let this disease win. I know this is the answer, so I'm going to keep coming back. So thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful share, Virginia J. Keep coming back. And thank you to everyone who shared. If you happen to be new, please stick around to the end of the meeting when we're going to allow newcomers a very special chance to announce your name and number if you haven't done so in the past. And sponsors will also be announcing their names and numbers in just a few moments. But we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, this is Penny L.C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until